From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. I am Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
And we're coming back to you with some tech news and whatever else we feel like talking about while the recording is going.
Our in-depth insights based on many years of experience and awesomeness.
And anger with all users in general. First thing I wanted to talk about this week, Ziff Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of failure in tech, filed Chapter 11 this week.
Mm.
I don't feel that strongly about Ziff Davis. You know, they do some good stuff. PC Magazine's always been pretty good. Apparently they have $225 million of debt.
Yeah.
Oops.
They've been around so long.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't. So do you think they're still based so deep in the magazine? Like, is that their, I wonder what their big debt is.
I don't know.
Because print media is like going away in a
right. Hurry. It seems like, they're pushing out podcasts like crazy. That it's pretty high bandwidth cost. I mean, they're the ones doing DLTV, mm-hmm. which, I mean, that was like high def video downloaded like crazy.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of faded out now since everybody left, but
right.
I don't know. It's apparently it's Chapter 11, so it doesn't mean they're closing their doors, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not good.
Wow. Well, I can't even say hopefully they'll come out of it because I'm not really a consumer of anything Ziff Davis anymore, so.
Yeah, I don't really, you know, every once in a while I'll look at some of their stuff, but usually that's through other means. It's coming through my feed.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Microsoft is finally getting on board with roaming profiles for end users. So the roaming profile thing has kind of been on the server side for a long time. And you've been able to take your profile with you inside a company. But they have some new tech that's coming out where you can take your profile with you on a USB stick. And I think they're teaming up with SanDisk and using their U3 technology, unfortunately. But the technology is called StartKey. Unfortunately, they're kind of behind the curve, you know? And I found this through Ars Technica, and they have a nice overview on why this is kind of a couple years too late.
Yeah. I remember back... Wow, when was this? Probably 98, 99. Think back, if you will, to the Windows NT, NT 4.0 days.
Oh, yes.
And we had roaming profiles.
That was the first good version of Windows in many years.
I was in an environment. We had about 400 or 500 NT workstations, and mm-hmm. everybody was trying to use roaming profiles, and it kind of worked. That's mm-hmm. really all I can say about it.
Yeah.
It worked great as long as you didn't roam.
Right.
Roaming broke the roaming profile.
Yeah, I remember they tried to get this to work back when I was in college. They started it out, and you know, you have 8,000 to 10,000 students coming the very first day, logging in at different machines, pulling their profiles all at the exact same time, and it pretty much brought their entire network to a halt.
Right.
And they gave up on that and just kind of used minimal parts of it, like you could bring your desktop and a couple things, but not your entire profile. That seems like the way to go in general.
Yeah, that was the thing that started me yelling at people for saving tons of stuff on their desktop.
Yeah.
Please right. don't do it. Shortcuts are your friend.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. It seems like they, you know, everything's moving into, quotes, the cloud, which we had this discussion, I don't know, a few weeks ago on whether that's going to really last, you know, because it just sounds like thin clients all over again. But
mm-hmm.
To me, this is not quite, I think we've covered this before, but I really am looking for the day when you have this thing that you carry with you, that you just kind of plug in anywhere and it has your OS and everything running. Do you remember talking about this?
Yes.
And you kind of made fun of me because you thought it was silly?
No, I get that, but my thing is, why even have a thing? You know what I'm saying? Like,
versus what then? What would I have instead?
Basically, you have your data that you get to from anywhere. and I don't care what the interface looks like.
Right. I guess I don't want everything in the cloud.
I do.
because then I guess I don't trust that there's going to be a persistent network everywhere I go.
Right. No, I get that.
I mean, that'd work in Japan, but that's not going to be here in the next 10 years.
Right. But my thing is, if I don't have a network where I am, any of my stuff is probably useless anyway.
Mm.
You kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
But it also means that I couldn't continue to work on something.
Right. I mean, what if you're developing a website or you're writing a page or you're...
Right.
I don't know.
I guess if I'm writing something, that would be fine. But like even website, it wouldn't be worth it to me if I cannot get to iStock Photo or Google Image mm-hmm. Search or, mm-hmm. you know, Wikipedia or stuff like that. I mean, I'm to the point now to where if I can't get to the rest of the web, I don't even want to bother.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather mow grass. So that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But yeah, so this roaming profile thing, it's on like a thumb drive type device.
Yeah, it's a USB disk, and unfortunately, it's using U3, which I think we both agree is a failure.
Yeah.
But they're teaming up with the U3 stuff, kind of with, so you'll have portable apps along with your profile or something.
I guess if I saw it work, I might be tempted to
instead of seeing it fail, like yeah. we always do.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it fail, but that doesn't stop me from complaining about it.
Yeah.
But I could buy into it if I thought it was really useful, and if I plugged in a thing and suddenly all my bookmarks were there and all my mm-hmm. stuff that I use all the time, my shortcuts, then
yeah,
I could see it being good.
Nice.
So Windows Home Server released last July.
Yeah, we talked about that going up to it a lot, and we both were like, yeah, it's pretty cool, and then we kind of don't care about it.
Right. Well,
so what's happening? What's up with Home Server?
The few people that did care about it bought it, and some of those people started having problems with it around December. And apparently certain applications, if your Windows Home Server has multiple hard drives, I think, that's kind of one of the contributing factors.
Mm.
If your Windows Home Server has multiple hard drives, certain applications cause files to be corrupted once you're editing or saving them. So...
Isn't that like the main use of the whole device?
Yes. So it's, I don't know. Some folks were pretty unhappy. Anyway, there's good news for those folks because there's going to be a fix sometime in June. So
nice.
You know, we're released in July of 07. We have kind of a warm launch.
Yeah.
People somewhat buy it.
Mm-hmm.
We start having problems in December. Then the list of problems and the list of people affected starts to grow faster. So it looks like now we're going to get the fix, you know, in June, almost a year after the thing came out. Because I'm assuming that this problem existed from the start and it right. just took a while.
Yeah.
And I wonder if only a few people had been affected, if there ever would have been a fix, or if the mm-hmm. fix would have been so mm-hmm. long. Because, you know, that's usually the more people that are screaming, the faster the fix comes out. So
exactly.
So I don't know. But anyway, at least they're addressing it.
That's too bad because, I mean, you know, I'm obviously not a huge Microsoft fan anymore, but it was a pretty cool concept. And they had this crazy throw any size hard drive you want in there and we'll manage it for you.
Right.
And that's what broke.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But anyway, too bad. We'll have a link in the show notes to the Microsoft page, which describes the effect and the problem.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Hopefully you folks will be getting some relief soon.
Yeah. I hope it ends up being a successful product. I think it has some value. But anyway, so you've probably been wondering when we're going to talk about it since I'm Mr. Apple fanboy. Woo! I love Apple! the iPhone SDK was announced this past week.
Yes.
And I'm very excited, even though I don't have an iPhone yet. And I won't say why I'm waiting, because I'm not going to mention said product.
Mm-hmm.
3G iVote.
There it was.
So but anyway,
why is this exciting?
So here's why this is exciting. Since the iPhone has been released, the only way to get third-party apps on the iPhone is to hack it.
Right.
You unlock it and you install apps. It's been fairly easy, but that process has been broken basically on every update.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in June, on the one-year anniversary of the iPhone, you will be able to download apps from the iPhone App Store directly on your phone.
Now, is that in iTunes? Is that going to be in iTunes?
It will be also in iTunes.
Okay.
But on your iPhone, there will be a specific application that you click on that will let you buy or download the free ones, applications directly to your phone over Wi-Fi or cellular.
So can anyone write code for this?
Anyone can write code and submit it to Apple. They have a few items that they're not going to allow, like things that unlock your phone or, you know, malware, porn, that kind of stuff. And then there was also the bandwidth hog was one of the things. So it's not clear what they're going to block yet. I think that is the smudge on the announcement is they are filtering things. But basically what you can download the SDK now and start writing apps. This little simulator will pop up on your use Xcode, which is the development environment for Apple. It's free as long as you have a Mac. And if you want to push those applications to an actual iPhone, you have to pay $100 for this developer fee, and that will let you run the applications live on your phone, and all you use is your dock cable to connect, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And you charge whatever you want, and then Apple takes 30%, which is pretty steep, I think. Yeah. I was pretty disappointed with that figure. 15% would maybe be more reasonable, but here's what they're saying. You know, they're paying for... they're hosting the app, for one thing. So you can be a small developer and have an awesome app that's big. Millions of people could download it and you won't have bandwidth cost.
Right.
So that's nice. But they also are putting it in front of everybody. They're saying by having that application on the phone that you can get to. Kind of lame.
A little bit weak argument.
30% is a big chunk. I'm not excited about that. The good news is if you want to release something for free, you can do that. And there's no charge. So if you want to put out a free app, they're not going to charge you a dime. And there you go. Which is pretty cool. You know, a lot of people expected there to be at least some sort of fee, even for a free app. So that was good. That kind of saved them a little bit, but still kind of lame with the 30% thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a summary of the SDK. It's using standard C code. You have access to pretty much all the subsystems on the iPhone. They showed a couple demos, a little demo of Spore, which looked pretty good. They showed AOL Instant Messenger running on there, a couple things like that that had only taken a couple days and then a couple weeks for some things. So pretty cool. In general, this just means great third-party apps coming to your iPhone. Your iPhone now really truly will be a computer. I mean, it's a mobile computer.
Yeah, there's a few things I could see being really useful there. So to make it... Now that means that you can kind of customize it for what you do.
And if you want to... So the other cool thing they're doing, and we'll just mention this briefly, on the enterprise side, you can pay, I want to say it was $2.99 to develop in-house applications that you distribute yourself. And they're still working out how that's going to work, whether it's some server centralized system. But imagine, you know, your company wants to push some sort of app out to your company phones, you'll be able to do that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And then another thing on the enterprise side, they announced full Exchange support. So coming in June with the June update, you will be able to sync over the air with your Exchange email, calendar, and all that jazz.
See, that'll make it nice.
Yeah. They actually licensed ActiveSync from Microsoft, so it's true full 100% push email, just like on your BlackBerry, only instead of having to go through a messaging server, it's directly from the Exchange server.
So that's pretty cool. Sweet. Yeah, this makes more sense for this to be used as a business phone now.
Right. And on the security side of things, they added the ability to wipe the phone remotely. So if you're worried about security, having, you know, corporate email on your phone, you can, I think you have to put in a call to, I don't know if it's from the Exchange server or they didn't really explain how it happened, but they did demo it. And basically what it does is it wipes all the data on the phone and puts it back to factory. So it still functions, but all the data is gone. So, so that way, if somebody steals your phone, you're not out of luck.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. But pretty good. Pretty good stuff. I'm excited about it. It's one of the things I've been waiting for. Still a couple of things missing for me, like I said, but overall, I'm pleased with what they came out with. So, Yeah, pretty good.
June, right?
Coming in June.
So does it, is it just me, or does it seem like the Apple announcements have kind of broken their old trend of, you know, starting today you can get blah blah blah. So it's now, it's like they're always sort of leading now, like in 2 months this will be ready, in 3 months this will be ready.
Yeah, I think what they started running into that when they entered the phone world, and then it just kind of kept going from there, because with the iPhone they had announced it ahead of time because they didn't want it leaked through FCC policy or whatever that's called. And then ever since then, I think they're going through probably some difficulties of growth. I mean, they've added this whole new market with the iPhone. Their sales are way up. They're selling laptops like crazy. They probably need to hire some more people. I mean, you know, they're still seem like, to me, a small company, even though they're selling a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
But
it just seems like they're getting more. That was always kind of part of the excitement of the announcement, is because you knew whatever they said,
right,
it's happening today. Like, it's, oh, if I go down the street, there it is on the shelf, you know.
So. Yeah, I think the other thing behind it is that, so the SDK was available that day, and they are to select like beta testers. They're pushing out the Exchange stuff to test it more. I think they're just trying to get it. I think the bigger the update, you know, something like Exchange support, how do you really test that in-house?
Right.
So to get it to work correctly, they really need a wide user base. And to do that, they have to let people know, and then the secret's out. I think it's easier to release some crazy new piece of hardware on the consumer side and keep that hidden. But I agree. It's lost some of its glory. I don't feel like I have to watch it live. I mean, this week, this time, I kind of just caught up after it was all over.
Right. Yeah, I think it misses some of that. Ta-da! Yeah. Look, here it is.
Yeah.
Now go get one.
Right.
You know.
And they do at the what is it? The Macworld keynote. Mm-hmm. That's when they kind of do those.
Right.
This was like a side thing. On a separate
like
day.
You said, the hardware still kind of does that.
Yeah. But either way, I agree. So, and then one final thing. I have a. It's not really a toolbox, but it's a little app I wanted to share with everyone. It is called Caffeine, and this is OS X only, but this is, for example, if you are watching a bunch of videos online, say on Hulu or YouTube or whatever, and your laptop is always going into screensaver mode or into, you know, turn off the monitor mode, and that gets kind of annoying after a while. This is basically, this runs in your toolbar, and it installs this little coffee cup. You click on that, and it turns off all power saving. And then you click it again and it turns everything back on. You know, a lot of this can be done manually with power management, but I find this to be a much simpler and more elegant solution.
Well, that's two or three clicks away,
right,
to do it the other way.
And this is free, so you don't have to pay for anything.
Nice.
And, it's pretty, especially if you're doing like a presentation, you know, and you can just go and click that and you know everything's going to be fine. It's not going to come on to some crazy screensaver in the middle of your presentation.
All right.
So, nice. Just a nice, fun little app out there. Give it a try and... free download.
Right. Do you want to throw out the social wallpaper site too while we're at
it? Oh yeah, might as well. Get another site of the weekend. Yeah, this was pretty cool. I don't even remember how I found this, but I've been using this for a couple weeks. Turned Ryan onto it. Sockwall.com, SOCWALL.com, social wallpaper. It's like a dig for backgrounds. And a lot of very cool backgrounds for your desktop. They've got, you know, dual screen stuff, widescreen, basically anything you've got, they'll be able to give you a wallpaper for it. And you can vote things up if you really like it. And just probably the best one I've seen in a long time. All right, everybody, that's going to wrap up one more awesome, fantastic, fantabulous edition of the Angry Admins podcast. Please go to our website if you are interested in any of the stories we discussed today. Ryan is going to have those show notes up there for you, and anything else you want to discuss, feel free to leave a comment or send us an email at feedback@angryadmins.com. Until next week, I'm Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
Stay angry.